Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. This is Leslie Seda, and I am in Waco, as my husband calls it, kidding, Waco, Texas. And I have my co-host on the line, Margaret Sheldon, who's in Boston. How are you?
I am. Well, I'm well. I have had an art-filled couple of weeks. So
you were painting.
You know, we're going to talk.
Some plein air painting or something, right?
I was, and for all of those folks out there who find plein air difficult, I'm here to tell you, yeah, there's a good reason for that. It's hard. And when you've taken the winter off and you finally get a good day, you kind of remember, oh, yeah, I forgot to bring this, or I should have done that, or, you know, it's sort of, once you get in the groove, I love it, because I love being outside. But more importantly, I was just with an incredible group, a group of painters from Nantucket here in Massachusetts, the Nantucket Art Association, and a group from the Woodstock School of Art. And we were sort of hosted by the Art Association in Rockport, Mass, which, if anybody's studied sort of the Gloucester, you know, Cape Ann School of Painters, you and I interviewed Stapleton Kearns. He's right out of that crowd, as you know, as was Winslow Homer and a bunch of other really fascinating people. But what a beautiful part of the world. It is less than an hour from my front door, and I had never been there.
Oh my gosh.
It was gorgeous. And you know, they had this incredible art collection, and they brought some paintings out of their, you know, sort of storage facilities to show us. It was fabulous. I feel very lucky to have been included. I'm kind of an interloper. But luckily, the coolest thing, not the coolest, but one of the cool things was, twice in the last week, I have had someone come up to me or in the course of conversation say, I listen to you all the time. And I was like, what? And then I realized they'd listen to the show. And, you know,
that's awesome.
It's that reminder that it's real people out there listening. And I can't tell you, when you're recognized by your voice and not by your appearance, it's a strange sensation, but pretty wonderful. And yeah, it was great. So I am fired up. I hope to get back out painting again this weekend. So there you go.
Good for you.
Nothing like starting a fire, right? Yeah, yeah. It was really,
yeah. No, that's true.
A couple of weeks.
Awesome.
And you? I know where you are.
I'm in Texas.
You're a project managing, huh?
I'm definitely being a project manager. It's going. I haven't actually seen the house. I just got in yesterday. My son, who lives in Australia, is home for his older brother's wedding, which is in a couple weeks. And he has a home base in Austin. So my youngest son, who just flew home from Paris or France, is home too, and the two of us flew to Austin. I left my boys in Austin for the bachelor party, and I came down to Waco. I had no intention of staying around there.
No, I think that's good.
But I am here just to check on the project, make some decisions, take a lot of photos. Yeah, the next time I come here, I will be driving a 25-foot truck from California to Texas. I know.
That's
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's completely crazy. Yeah, because I have to do it for to bring out some stuff that I have. It's ridiculous, I know.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I can't wait to see it when it's done.
I'm excited too. Thank you. It's crazy.
Well, I think it's ironic that we both have children living in Australia. What are the chances of that?
I know. No, zero.
Unbelievable.
1%.
Yeah. Yeah. But there you go. We have that. And I have to say, the idea for today's show was born out of some travel. That's the truth of it. I am the worst at...
Will you repeat what the topic is first? Sorry.
Sure. Right? We're going to talk about why creatives, and by that, you know, we're using the big word, creative. Anyone who is really involved in using their mind in creative, artistic ways, But why is it that creatives can benefit so much from stepping away and taking a break? And I think that's the thing that I kind of had to experience it in order to appreciate the value of it. And it got me thinking. So if we're ready to launch, I'll just sort of dive right in. Is it okay with you?
Absolutely. Of course.
Good. All right. So the idea for this show came literally as I was sitting, and I do mean literally, sitting on or in an airplane. You've got to be careful when you use the word literal. Because I was flipping through a lot of articles that I had, you know, downloaded to read. I knew I had a long flight in front of me. And I found a review of a book that was really, I would have to say, transformative. It's funny when you sort of have that serendipity and the right thing falls in your lap at the right time. The topic, this book is by an author named Alex Sunjung Kim Pang. P-A-N-G is his last name, if you look it up. The title of the book is Rest, Why You Get More Done When You Work Less. And I'm going to be honest, I went into this thinking, oh, this is going to be one of those topics like, you know, don't work harder, work smarter. And it'll tell me how to save time, or it'll give me, you know, organizational tips. And that wasn't it at all. In fact,
right.
It talks about, you know, the very, very action of stepping away. So I think the first thing I would like to do as we launch into this is to talk about what I mean when we talk about rest. And really, the simple act of resting is if you engage in a restorative activity. I can be really literal about this one and talk about the benefits of sleep, because I think that's essential. But rest is so much more. And in giving your brain a chance to rest, I know we talk about exercise all the time, but in this case, it's really, I think that word restorative is the one that needs to be sort of highlighted and circled. You know, the importance of that for someone who is, as we all know, putting a lot of energy into that creative action of the brain. So whether disengagement means, you know, for everyone it's something different, it can be just vegging out and binge watching TV. Heaven knows there's a lot of mindless TV that can take you away for a while. Sometimes it's going for like a 5-mile hike. I think whatever it is, there's value to it. And, you know, everyone has a different way of resting. But I think it's essential that we think about this in terms of something that will give you a break from your normal working life. And, you know, if you can identify something that you enjoy, even if you just try a lot of new things, I think the important thing is to engage in something that's, again, here comes the word, restorative, and a restorative activity, and not like yours truly doing it once every few years, but really doing it on a regular basis. So I found
that's the hard part.
Interesting, right? It is hard. None of us ever wants to. I mean, there's a million reasons. You don't want to spend the money. You don't want to take time off. You don't know how to leave your dogs. I'm raising my hand on that one. It's always getting coverage for the animals. It's tricky. But here's an interesting fact. This author found out that really creative people, and he listed, you know, artists, scientists, he has Maya Angelou, poets, Stephen King, all of these people kind of work obsessively. But for a really small portion of their day. So, you know, we've heard this before. If you think about it, you work intensively and then you rest deliberately. And I thought, right, if there's nothing else, I'm going to write out and pin to my easel. You know, sort of work hard and then deliberately rest. Because if you can do that, you know, what happens is your focus is concentrated, and I think if you knew you only had a limited amount of time, can you imagine? It's like I can think of everything as literal as like when we say to painters, you know, it's the 20-stroke exercise. Paint this painting in 20 strokes. People always do amazing, strong work because they know they're limited. If you know you right. only have 2.5 hours and you sort of set the timer for 2.5 hours, you dive in, and maybe that's enough. If the quality is there, you know, if you can focus on your art. So for all of the people, which I have to say I fell in this camp, who thought, oh, I don't have enough time to, you know, set up and paint today, or I won't be able to get enough done. It's not true. If you can tell yourself you only have X numbers of hours, kind of see where it will mm-hmm. take you. It turns out that a lot of these, you know, great creatives are doing their best work by operating in exactly that manner.
That's amazing. And I have to say, this kind of, it seems a little bit obvious, but okay, Margaret, I am working right now between 60 and 80 hours every week. And it's hard. It's killing me.
Yeah.
That's not even wedding stuff. I mean, I've done a lot less for the wedding than I wish I had. It's really breaking my heart. But it's been really tough. And I, you know, and I've got all my family like, Leslie, you're working too hard. You need to, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, it's just, and my big goal for the year was to be smarter. And I'm dumber. I'm working more.
Yeah.
And it's like, I need to make a big change here because this is crazy. And number one, I need to be able to say no and not take on so many of these projects with brands. And I know when the house is done, that'll make a difference. But when the house is done, I want to come to Waco and spend like 3 weeks here and I can do all the fun stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Inside the house doing projects. And that'll be amazing. But right now it's just like, it's killing me. So there's a lot that has to kind of get figured out, but I really need to, I mean, it was like you wrote this show for me and no one else.
Oh, well, you know,
I'm like,
really,
how did she know?
I think
because
women fall into this. I do.
I think you're right.
You know, yeah. And because if you're working as an artist, right, your schedule is yours to set. And if you're like, come on, you probably, I know you well enough to know you've always had three things going at once. You kind of thrive on that. But I think what we find out when you read about this is how important, listen, I did a whole like little divergent turn where I looked at how important sleep is. And it's amazing. Sleep is where, you know, not only does your body regenerate, but your ideas do. Your brain actually clears out junk while you sleep.
Right.
And they're showing all these correlations to later health. Yeah, we all have to, I don't want to say put yourself first. I don't think that's it. I think it's prioritizing and recognizing the importance of taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what
you're right.
To
totally
it's
right.
Be valued, right? So.
Yeah, and the key, here's the problem, is don't feel guilty about it. Because what is really hard to understand is why we undervalue rest as a society. Why, if I say, okay, today I'm not going to do any projects, I'm going to stay off my computer, why is the first thing I feel guilt? And it's so bizarre because it's the package, it's the rest and the drive and the work combined together that make us all, I think, who we are. And there's a long-standing assumption that not working hard is like morally suspect or something. And I know the author that you referenced makes the point that more work doesn't equal more output necessarily, especially when you're creative. And I've always said creating a painting for me is sometimes feels like pulling a little bit of something out of my chest and throwing it on the canvas. It can be that painful and draining and the process can be and personal. And that's a lot different than some of the other jobs out there. So when you are creating and you're the whole process that you're going through and you're thinking about, oh, I want this to turn out and I really want to express this and I really want to capture this feeling that I'm seeing in front of my easel. And all those experiences are so draining. And if you think about it, you have to have that ability to stop and take a break and get away from it. And so, you know, the notion of working hard as a beneficial goal, I'm sure came out of the Industrial Revolution. I'm sure of it.
Yep.
You know, in factories, you got to put in to get out, to get product. But there were, in truth, multiple shifts for the workers in the days. They had you know, they well, once the unions came in, they couldn't work them to death. But we really should have done this a long time ago. And we should really be able to do better. So it's really important to understand that taking a break or resting is not working. It's replenishing and it's refreshing and it's revitalizing you as a person and also as a producer. So there's nothing wrong with taking that break. And that's what I have to understand. You know, I mean, and it's so funny, the little things I do, like when Dave gets home from work, I put my phone down. I'll cook dinner, we'll eat, maybe we'll sit down and watch the Dodger game, which is so boring, but anyway. But I try not to do, you know, if it's a Dodger game, I told him I can put my computer on my lap because it's painful. But he has a tendency to go early, and the second he goes to bed, boy, am I back to work for a couple hours. Yeah. And it's just, it's a little crazy. I'm a little embarrassed to share that. But sometimes you really need to get joy out of not working and joy out of relaxing, if that makes sense.
And, well, you know, you said something really interesting, like with the whole, you know, are you working? Is my phone in my hand? Is my computer open? But the truth is, everyone I know kind of has a phone nearby. And everyone I know, you know, if you know, we've talked about the time suck, but like I want to check in and see first thing in the morning what my favorite Instagram accounts have posted, or I want to look and see how so-and-so's workshop is going. And you know what? It's amazing how that divides your attention and how you kind of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I wish, it's just harder today. In the world we live in, it takes discipline, and maybe that's something I need to exercise more. Because, you know, if you're going to really rest, I think it's probably going to involve putting my phone in another room and unplugging, which honestly can only be good for all of us. I don't know.
That's a problem I struggle with because my job, Margaret, is the phone. I mean, that's really my job. And so it's really hard. But anyway, we can continue on because it's tough.
So then, I mean, this is true of anyone who's trying to do anything creative, right? You know, it's like people who have their studios at home. I'm pointing to myself. I complain. It's hard to have a studio at home. I am blessed. I have a huge space. I love it. In fact, I keep encroaching into the adjacent spaces in my house. I'm about to take, you know, our guest room over next door to me, and because I thought I can put all my storage in there. Whatever. It's hard because you're home and there's distractions. It's also great because it's home and you can go out there and paint. The problem is, like, I think what we need to do is, like, set a schedule and maybe try it. It's like a diet. Try to live by the schedule for 2 weeks. For a month, you know, you go into your studio at this time and make it a shorter day, right? That's what all these studies are showing us. If you can concentrate your work, you'll get more done rather than let it kind of, you know, I mean, Instagram eats away at my day. It eats away at my brain. Maybe.
Yeah, I can't even comment on that.
Well, it's an interesting thing. And so then the question is, we're using all of our senses, all of our, you know, brain power while we're creating whatever it is that we've chosen to create. But what does your brain do when you actually do rest? And this is, I don't know, this is kind of like game changing to me. It's kind of critical. You have to realize that when you allow your mind to wander, when, you know, your mind doesn't have any particular thing that you have to focus on, a task, it's still pretty darn active. Because in doing this research, you know, I can read that when you disconnect, your subconscious mind keeps working on problems. And those problems can be, you know, how do you sort of solve the composition of a painting? How do you kind of figure out how you're going to balance your books? Whatever it is, when you're not thinking about it, it's still kind of banging around in there in your brain. And what they say is that's why people will have those, you know, aha moments in the shower, or maybe when you wake up in the morning, or It's almost
interesting.
If you've ever looked at the stars, like even through a telescope, you know, a good telescope, sometimes what they tell you is don't focus on, you know, the planet you're trying to see. Kind of just look to the side of it and you'll actually see the planet more clearly. You know, you just move your focus off a little and your peripheral will catch it, and then you can understand what you're seeing. It's an interesting phenomenon. And I think that's also true sometimes when you're trying to come up with a creative idea. The more you sit there and try to force out a solution, right? We know how elusive that can be. It doesn't come. Sometimes if you just kind of let, and it's funny, we think of it as letting our mind wander. In fact, it's the way that your brain can establish new ways of seeing solutions. I kind of like it. Like the brain will keep working even while you're sleeping or watching a movie or reading a book or whatever it is, gardening.
Right.
I think
right.
You need rest if you're going to stay creative. And you know, we all talk about burnout. Everybody talks, I'm so burned out. I mean, that's the common cry. But burnout never results in getting more done or working better. Burnout,
I don't think so.
Really, it affects your health and your personal relationships. You become,
no way, yeah.
You know, sort of short-tempered and sick. So there's like a million reasons for us to. This is part of, I think it should be part of our health plan, like how to stay healthy, eat well, sleep enough, get some exercise, daydream. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, there was an article in Inc. magazine called For a More Creative Brain, Take Breaks. Thomas Opping wrote it. And what he said is there is a growing body of evidence that says taking regular breaks from mental tasks will improve creativity. And because if you skip breaks, those will lead to stress, exhaustion, and that block that we get. So apparently, if you don't take breaks, you have a tendency to generate redundant ideas. So it's almost like you just need to keep the brain from going in circles. And in order to do that, you have to create new brain pathways. And the only way to create those brain pathways is to achieve it with rest. So what are the ways to rest? Okay, well, obviously, vacations work well, but if you can't take a vacation, which we know is limiting, there are things that you can do on a daily basis. You can take a walk. I mean, you know how many people do that? There's a lot of people that say, oh, I'm just going to go take a walk. And it just gives them a chance to not basically be thinking and pushing their brain to force it to do something creative. Just take a walk and don't go on the walk spending your whole time, you know, trying to solve a huge problem. Take a walk and enjoy the scenery. Look at the trees, smell the air. Doodle. You know, I never doodle. I'm just not a doodler, but doodle is a great idea. Meditate is a fabulous idea. And we were with some friends last summer in Monterey and did some meditation, and it was kind of cool. It was very relaxing. And I kept having to, in my brain when I was meditating, I kept having to snap and get it back into that path of not thinking and solving a problem and analyzing today's, you know, issues and whatnot. There's things you can watch a movie, you can watch TV, you can go to a symphony, and you can read a book. I do have to admit at night, I kind of like an hour or two of TV, of some whatever show that just has me not thinking and just has me being entertained, if that makes sense.
Sure.
But the most important thing is to stop trying, because creativity's most important partner is relaxation. And as Albert Einstein said, creativity is the residue of time wasted. So it's super important.
Beautiful.
Super important. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
Well, you know, I feel like words to live by, truthfully, because I can't tell you the number of times I have figured out a solution to a problem by not thinking about it. Like, I feel like I have had living proof that this is true, you know, where I sort of say,
sure.
I don't know, you know, this is perfect. I have a little prescription, nothing big, that I take every day. And I was in Australia, and I forgot it. I brought, you know, I don't know what I brought instead, but I didn't bring what I needed. And I couldn't figure out what I was going to do about it. I woke up in the morning, and I thought, oh, I know what I can do. I can call so-and-so and just ask them to pick it up, and he's coming this way. It was just like the solution just came to me, and I thought, why didn't I do that the night before?
Awesome.
It wasn't until I stopped worrying about it that it suddenly just presented. So, you know, two thumbs up for the power of, you know, the brain to come up with a solution when you least expect it.
Yeah.
You know, there's also, because of my recent trip, I honestly cannot tell you the last time I took 3 weeks off. I can't think of it. It had to have been before children. So this was sort of a long overdue. I mean, we've taken time off, but where the whole family's with us or whatever. This was a new experience. And what it made me remember was, you know, sort of after college, I did that artsy-fartsy thing where I went to Europe with a bunch of friends and my husband was along. And we traveled. And we traveled for, you know, a couple of months. And having not had that sort of an experience for a long time, of not having an agenda, I was forced, really, to remember that travel as a way of, you know, sort of stepping out of your ordinary life really does sort of infuse your mind, because you're seeing new things, you're hearing different languages and accents, having experiences that are totally outside of what you do every day is amazing in terms of, for me, like getting you excited about things again. I, you know, saw art that made me catch my breath, literally. And I think you can do this certainly by traveling. And if there's any way to plan a trip, I say do it. But I know it's hard. I also, if I motivate myself, I go into sometimes a museum, and I always drive home thinking, why don't I do that more often? You know, any sort of experience that is other than what you normally do just enriches your life. And I think it's something that it's almost like it should be prescriptive, because it's so good for you individual. I think spending time with friends and family, that is, has a value in that it allows a creative person's network of ideas to expand and things flourish. You know, if you start hearing what other people are doing, you know how it's, there's nothing like someone telling you about a place to sort of spark your imagination and hearing about other experiences.
True.
And you know what? If you're working all the time and you're slaving to meet a deadline, if you have a show and you're trying to paint 10 paintings and you never take your focus off of that, it's not, you're not going to get the same quality as you would if you force yourself to step out of that room, out of that situation, and think about something else. I think that if we can, to me, it's like when your computer's running slow and you have to shut it all down and kind of refresh the screen. It's like
I thought of that twice since we've been talking.
Right? That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah.
Why don't we is the question. Why have we gotten ourselves as a society so that we think if you're the last one to leave the office, it means you're working the hardest. Probably means you're less efficient when you're
this
there
whole
with everyone.
This whole show, Margaret, all I've been thinking about is what do you do if you have a problem with your phone? You turn it off, right?
You
restart it.
That's right. Reboot the computer.
I'm like, yeah, that's what they tell you to do at the Apple Store. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. Those lines, though, we're talking about a lot of mental health. We need to talk a little bit about physical health, because that's an important part. There's no doubt that studies are clear that in order to have a very long and creative life, you have to be in the best possible health. I mean, who wants to deal with any health issues that could be avoided? So right now, as of today, take the time to take care of yourself. If you need a mini break and you can't get away, what about detoxing your studio? And Margaret, this is your idea, and it's such a great idea. Look at ventilation. Consider a summer of outside art making, get some plants. I mean, there's so many things you can do to make your environment healthier while you're also thinking about how you can make yourself healthier, because it's really important.
Absolutely. You know, I didn't do the show. It was way back in the beginning. It was you and Dreema did a show where you talked about the value of plants in the studio.
Right.
And
absolutely.
I love the garden, but I don't love houseplants. I don't have a lot of success. But I thought to myself, I'm going to give it a go. And I can't tell you how many times I will read about the value of plants for cleaning the air.
Mm-hmm.
In a studio.
Oh, sure.
But why we should all have like a plant in the corner of the room. First of all, it's better than a
mm-hmm.
studio pet. You don't have to feed it or let it out. And look at the job it does. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is the simplest thing someone can do. Oh, I loved that show. It's in the archives. If anybody wants to see it, it's way back when. So I'm all for that. Well, as you talked about getting outside, and I remember a few years ago, I stopped by to see a friend who's a wonderful, beautiful still life painter. And she had this tall table her husband had made, probably, I'm guessing, maybe 48 inches high, maybe a little taller. She pops it outside, and when the weather's good, she paints her still life outside
mm-hmm.
in dapple sunlight. I thought that was a revelation.
Whoa.
Never occurred to me. And I thought, well, isn't that great? You know, it's sort of like she's getting fresh air, a little vitamin D, but she's changing it up. And it makes it more interesting because it's a totally different kind of light. And I think that,
right.
you know, a change of venue like that can be really invigorating. If you're working too hard and, like, you're not getting anywhere, on whether you're stuck on a painting or you feel like you're
right.
bored with your subject matter, consider, you know, sort of setting up a little out of studio. I think that if you clear your schedule, maybe for a week, you know, and you just
mm-hmm.
step away from it, how great would that be? With
right.
absolutely no studio time, you're going to be ready to go back in. We all
yeah.
think, I mean, I always thought it was puritanical, old New England Yankee nonsense. You know, you got to work hard, don't take vacations. Those are for wimps. The truth is,
mm-hmm.
you have to take any vacations. If you're lucky enough to leave the country, how many artists have we read about who were very poor but lived abroad? You know, you can do that by going and painting in a different venue every day for a week. If you want to, the change is good for the soul, good for the mind. We've already established that.
Right.
I think that, you know, if you can, this is what I'm going to take away from this one. I'm going to try and schedule deliberate breaks from what I do every day. And it's not going to be going to the art store, because usually I take a break, you know, and I'll decide to go in town, and then I line it up with stopping at the framers and picking up materials. But really, scheduling, forcing yourself, planning time away from the studio, it might result in some pretty, you know, creative breakthroughs. At least that's what I'm going to
think it's great. I really think it's great. Yeah, I need to do that just in my life in general from my current job.
So as we've said many times before, we know that the successful artists we interview typically include exercise as part of their day. I can't tell you, I don't know of any successful artist we've interviewed that hasn't mentioned it. And I'm serious.
Right?
It's amazing. There's a lot of things that you can do yoga. You know, there's a daily app called Daily Om? That's an O-M.
Yep.
That's good for beginners.
O-M.
It's great. Walking, of course. Bicycling. You can go to the gym. You know, we have a Peloton that I finally started to discover. Hello. It's pretty cool. The girl's like there right at the bike yelling at you to go faster. It's perfect for me. There's so many things you can do, and there's a lot of apps now that can get you into a fitness routine that are kind of fun, that sometimes we all need a little extra oomph, and I think that's a great idea. But anything that'll take you out of the studio and give your mind a chance to kind of wander freely and not think about work and just give it a little bit of time off,
will likely result in more of a creative boost than you've had in a long time. So, Margaret, thank you so much for putting this show together. This was amazing and so incredibly accurate and so important. And it's just one of those things that we forget that we need to do.
Yep.
And this, I'm not kidding. I haven't even told my husband about this show, and he's just going to die when he comes to see what you've done.
Well,
he's going to be like, wow, that's a really good thing, Leslie.
maybe it will. You know what? We all know what we should do, but hopefully today's show tells you a little bit about why, right? It's almost like without taking a break, you pay a price. You pay a price in your creativity. You definitely pay a price in your health. You know, you pay a price in your relationships. So I think this is not only, again, it's not like just a suggestion. I think it should be almost like a prescription for all of us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, time is short. We have to take care of ourselves. So, yeah.
I agree.
All right.
All right. Well, thank you, Margaret. Have a fabulous week. I'm heading over to the house, and I got a gazillion things I have to do.
Speaking of which, do we want to say anything about our schedule in the coming week?
Oh yes. We will be on except for May 30th, which is Thursday, 2 days before my son's wedding. We will not be having a show because I will be driving to Northern California, to Napa, for the big day. So,
I'll be too crazy. All right.
So.
We'll talk next week, and then we'll remind everyone that we'll be off the following week.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Good luck. And,
bye.
Sleep well. Bye-bye.